This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're just talking about the NFL Combine in full swing right now in Indianapolis. Justin Mello, who covers the NFL for the Draft Network, helping us break all that down and much more. Justin, how you been doing? Thanks for the time, man.
The pleasure's all mine. We're day two of on-field workouts, and we're already having a blast.
We just played a clip of going to the break before. Ashton Gentry was talking about how he'd love to come play for New Orleans. It'd be dope to team up with Alvin Kamara and obviously a Boise State, former Boise State guy in Kellen Moore. But what's your thoughts about a possibility of drafting a running back with the ninth overall pick in this draft?
I don't think the Saints are in a position to do that. Now, look, certainly Alvin Kamara is, you know, probably getting close to the end of his line, and they're going to need a succession plan eventually. But I don't think that they're in a position to do that number nine overall. This roster has got enough holes as is, and they're in the market for some premium positions, right? An offensive tackle at number nine, as well within the realm of possibility. I would say a wide receiver, a cornerback. You know, maybe one of the quarterbacks, if they slip, I think would garner consideration. But an edge rusher, certainly with Cameron Jordan not getting younger himself. So they're just in the need of too many premium talents to go ahead and take a non-premium position like a running back.
Yeah, and you know, quarterback is an interesting position because I feel like everyone has kind of settled on, hey, Cam Ward's at the top of the board for whoever it ends up being. And I do want to ask you more about that in a moment. But, you know, Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart are two guys that I feel like are going to end up a lot closer together in the final draft kind of when it all gets laid down than they might be right now in a lot of projections. So I'm curious what your reads are on both of those guys. And obviously there's a lot of guys who aren't working out at the combine. So this is really more of a question of just your assessment of those two quarterback prospects and where you could see them going on draft day.
Yeah, they're very different prospects. You know, when you watch Shedeur Sanders play, and he said this at the podium on Friday, but I think the selling point with him is the attributes that he offers from the neck up. He is a smart quarterback, high football IQ, pre- and post-snap recognitions, is very accurate, knows where to go with the football. Some of the physical stuff is what leaves something to be desired, right? I don't think he's got terrific size for the position. I would describe the arm strength and the velocity as average at best, whereas Jackson Dart certainly offers you some of the physical off-script playmaking ability. I think he could make every throw. He's good at escaping the pocket and kind of creating as one of those, you know, off-script magicians. When it comes to Jackson Dart, I'll level with you and I'll be honest. I've got serious concerns about his ability to run and operate an NFL offense. You know, I think in recent years, we've gotten in trouble with some of these guys. You know, you look at the Colts a couple of years ago with Anthony Richardson, very different, but similar in the sense where we fell in love with the physical attributes and maybe ignored some of the football IQ stuff, and that hasn't worked out there. And then certainly with the Tennessee Titans, it was at, you know, 33 overall in the second round. But with Will Levis, I see a lot of parallels between Will Levis and Jackson Dart, where you kind of fall in love with all the physical attributes, you fall in love with some of the stuff that he does off script. When it comes to just snapping the football, reading the defense pre and post snap. That's where he gets himself in trouble. And for me, I just, again, you got to be careful with the physical stuff. I know, with Shador, some of it, there's plenty to be desired there. But I do appreciate the ability to kind of go through the progressions and make good decisions. For me, he's significantly better prospect than Jackson Dart is.
Yeah, you mentioned Will Levis there, and obviously you know a lot about the Titans. You cover the Titans. And, so what do you think they're going to do at quarterback? Do you roll with Will Levis again? Are the Titans in a position where they could even pass on a guy like Cam Ward, knowing the questions at quarterback are there? Do you trade back? What do you think? What is your read on what the Titans are going to do at the top of the draft?
I think my prediction as of now is they're going to kick the can down the road, try to trade that number one pick. There's been a lot of smoke between them and the New York Giants. I think that's their ideal trade partner in their mind, because they can pick up the capital, they can move to three, and then they're guaranteed to get either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. The read that I'm getting on the Titans right now is they're very early in their rebuilding process. They've got a first-year general manager in Mike Borgonzi, a second year of, a VP of football operations in Chad Brinker, who really isn't in his first year of power. This is very much a new regime. I don't think they're very impressed with the quarterback prospects. I don't think they're interested in tying their job security to them. As of now, they've got great job security, right? They're in their first year. I think they're not sold on the quarterbacks. They know that they've inherited an incredibly weak roster. I think their plan is to trade the pick, acquire more capital, rebuild for at least a year, and then they'll be in a good position presumably next year with more capital to take a quarterback and with presumably a stronger quarterback class. Now, what they do at quarterback, if they do that, that's the ultimate question, because I don't think, even if they plan on quote-unquote losing, they can't sell that fan base on another year of Will Levis. I mean, that stadium was empty near the end of the season. I can't imagine going into week one saying, this is our quarterback. I think they go with a veteran bridge guy in free agency. They would love to get a guy like Derek Carr, funny enough, as we're here on the New Orleans. With Carr, it doesn't sound like he's going to be available. But remember, Titans head coach Brian Callahan, he coached him previously in Oakland. He was his quarterback's coach, the then Oakland Raiders. So I think that would have been plan A. Doesn't sound like that's going to be able to come to fruition. Maybe it's a Kirk Cousins, who by all intents and purposes is going to be available for $1.25 million. Not enough people are talking about that. When the Falcons cut ties with him, he's going to be available on the Russell Wilson deal, because they owe him so much guaranteed money. So I think their plan is to trade that pick and go with a short-term bridge option.
Justin, you mentioned Derek Carr. Curious, what's your impressions of him? There's been so much anger with the fan base here surrounding him. Obviously had not a healthy season last year, really hurt him as well. But just curious, overall, what do you feel about Derek Carr as a quarterback in this league?
I think there's plenty of blame to go around for how it's gone these last couple of years. Do I think he deserves some accountability? Absolutely. And look, the injuries are not something you can control per se. I'm referencing just his on-field play. I think there are times where he would tell you himself that he could have and should have played better. But I do think there's enough blame to go around. The offensive line has sort of been in flux for a couple of years there. They haven't completed that transformation. That has certainly limited his ability. I would say weapons at wide receiver, I don't think they've had enough outside of Chris Olave in recent years. And certainly, Rashid Shaheed played well this past year before he got hurt. But I don't think they've had enough at the pass catching positions, generally speaking. And then honestly, at head coach, I never loved talking down on a coach, but I thought they moved on from Dennis Allen a little later than I would have in the process. I don't think they, and I know Carr had a good relationship with him, but in terms of promoting, and moving this offense into the century, if you will, I don't think Dennis Allen did a good enough job there throughout his time. Now, I did like Clint Kubiak. I thought that was a good higher this past year. I just don't think things went well, especially when injuries started. I mean, they all got hurt, right? Carr and both the receivers. And they've had some issues on the O-line as well. First-year left tackle, who I thought played well. But certainly you can see that O-line has been in flux. So it's a new leaf. I really appreciate the head coaching hire they made. I think it's a brilliant offensive-minded hire, and I'm curious to see where things go. I think there's still hope for Carr to salvage this thing in New Orleans.
Yeah, and just kind of going further on that, well, what were your thoughts on Spencer Rattler's rookie season? Obviously, 0-6 isn't ideal. It was not a great scenario. You didn't have any receivers. Your offensive line was constantly hurt. You know, it's a situation where, you know, a rookie quarterback's not going to scoff at experience, and these guys need to learn and grow. What were your thoughts on how he looked as a rookie?
Well, when you're drafted as late as he was as a quarterback, I'll say this. We sometimes forget, I think the first baseline expectation, again, when you're drafted where he was, is to just prove that you could play the quarterback position in the National Football League. And I think he did that. I think Spencer certainly showed that he belongs in this league. My personal evaluation is I see high sort of upside as a backup quarterback, one of the better backup quarterbacks in the National Football League. Now, we shouldn't be making any guaranteed determinations after 1 year. I'm not quite ready to say that he could develop into a, you know, even a mid-tier starting quarterback. I don't think I quite saw enough to make that declaration, but I certainly saw enough to say that he can play quarterback in the National Football League, and I think that he's going to develop into a high upside backup. And there's a role around the league for those guys. I mean, there are guys making a living off being that high upside backup, and there's not a lot of them. You know, we tend to think they grow on trees, and they don't. There are about 7 to 10 good backup quarterbacks in the NFL that can come into a game, run the offense efficiently, get you through it, and win you a football game if the rest of the team is playing well. I don't think he's going to carry you, but I don't think he's going to be the reason you lose a lot of games either. So I was really encouraged by what I saw from Spencer Rattler in year one. I think he'll play quarterback in this league for a very, very long time as a high upside number two.
Sticking with the Saints for me, Justin, just curious, you look at this draft, what are the good nose tackles that could be available for the black and gold to select? Because if they're making this move with now Brandon Staley taking over the defense to a 3-4, I just don't see one on the roster right now. So who are some of the guys that maybe early on in these first, second, third round of this draft that could be a possibility for Saints?
Well, I'm not always a fan of taking one super early, but I do think there are a couple guys that could play the nose position for you. The best one, in my opinion, and I believe he's a pure nose, is Kenneth Grant, right, from the University of Michigan.
Right.
I think he's a three-down nose tackle. I think he's got enough upside as a pass rusher that he's going to be able to stay on the field. Now, you're not taking him at number 9, certainly too early. But, you know, if the Saints are interested in trading down, and I know that hasn't gotten a lot of chatter, but if they were to trade down in that even that 18 to 20 range, that's where I'm comfortable starting the conversation on Kenneth Grant. I do think he's going to be a first-round pick, probably in the 25 to 30. I think, the Buffalo Bills will look at him long and hard, and a couple other teams in the mid to late 20s. But Kenneth Grant is the best pure nose tackle in this draft, in my opinion. There are a couple others as you go on. Certainly Alfred Collins from Texas, you ask about a second-round option. He's going to look really, really good at the combine. I mean, the numbers from the measurement process were incredibly impressive. So I think he's probably the second-best nose in this class. Deion Walker is going to be the one that's very divisive from Kentucky. You know, if you saw him at the Senior Bowl, there were reps where you said, this guy's a first-round prospect. Then there were reps where you said, I don't think he's a top 100 player. He tends to play a little high, foregoes his technique on occasion. But when he gets it right, he looks like one of the top 20, 25 players in the class. So it's a good class from a nose tackle's perspective. One that I like late is Georgia's Nazir Stackhouse. You know, I tend to prefer to get my noses a little bit later, unless they have true three-down potential, because then you've got to question the value. If you can only play two downs, that's not a guy I'm very excited about taking in the opening 64 picks. But someone like Nazir Stackhouse from Georgia, if you're into the two-down thing, I think round 5 or 6 is when he's going to be available and can offer you an early-down role right away.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You know, Justin, I feel like I ask you this every year, and I always try to be as vague as possible because I think that's the best way to get the best answer. And so if you're looking at, you know, guys who are currently being talked about second, third round that you think are just being kind of criminally slept on, is there anyone that kind of stands out to you that, you know, right now isn't being talked about nearly as much as they should be and, in your opinion, will be by the end of their rookie season?
Well, how about the safety from South Carolina, what he's doing right now? I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the numbers, but Nick Amanyori, the safety from South Carolina, he just leaped 11-foot, 6-inch broad jump,
wow.
Okay, and a 43-inch vertical. Okay, that would have been the highest vertical out of any participant last year. I'm pretty confident it's going to be the highest this year as well. It's currently in the lead. I don't think anyone's going to beat it this year. So this is a guy that's kind of been talked about, a second-round guy. I'm not convinced he's not the best safety in the class, period. You know, I know that's been going to Malachi Starks out of Georgia. But mind you, I could cop out here. A lot of teams see Starks as a corner in this class, which I don't know is if that's public info, but a lot of teams see him as a corner. So, but if he is a safety, I still see a scenario where Nick Amanyori is the first safety selected. Again, a lot of second, third round talk. I think there's a pretty good chance he sneaks into the first round. Another who I'm a big fan of who will work out tomorrow is the wide receiver from Utah State, Jalen Royals. If you saw this guy at the Senior Bowl, he was creating easy separation. He was probably the most physical receiver down in Mobile. I thought he looked the most pro-ready out of any of them. He knows how to use his size, and he's got great arms, length, and he's very physical right there at the line, knows how to create separation. People, they're trying to flag him. A lot of it was happening within the contact window, so he knows how to get open. And then when you get the ball in his hands, I'm a huge fan of what he does after the catch. He is so dangerous in open space. Again, that's a guy that I think should be getting top 30 buzz. I look at a team like the Buffalo Bills. I look at the Kansas City Chiefs that need more help at receiver.
Just curious to mentioning a guy that's likely to go in the first round. I thought possibly top 5 in LSU's Will Campbell. What's been the buzz around him? Because I feel like mock drafts are just all over the place on where he could end up.
I still think we're trending with him being the number 4 overall pick to the New England Patriots.
Okay.
I think they'll have an interesting decision there, but it really depends on what they see his position being, right? As you know, there's been some, you know, tackle guard conversation surrounding him, but I do think he should be allowed to quote-unquote fail at tackle first before I would move him in, and I don't think he will fail. I think he should play left tackle. I think he's going to thrive at that position. Look, Mike Vrabel, old school football coach, they desperately need one to protect Drake May's blind side. The conversation for them is going to be him or Mason Graham at number 4, and in fairness, I could see them going in either direction, but It's so obvious how badly they need a left tackle there. He's the best one. He should be the first one off the board.
Justin, what can folks find at the Draft Network right now that's gearing up for the NFL draft coming up soon and everything going on at the Combine right now?
Well, a ton of content from the team. They're down in Indianapolis, live tweeting all the results, all the measurements and all that. The Twitter account's been blowing up. On the website itself, we've got daily articles, winners from every position. We've got standalone articles on standout prospects who deserve more attention. Mock draft dropping every Sunday night, Monday morning. There'll be a new one dropping this weekend. We just updated our top 100 prospect list over there, so a top 100 big board pre-combine edition. And I'm doing interviews, daily interviews with the prospects. I'm up to 100 already. I sat down with 100 prospects in this class. I'm probably going to finish around 220, 230. You can go to the Draft Network. I've got ones with Ashton Jinty, who you asked me about earlier, Will Campbell. I've got one set up with a couple of the LSU guys. I did Savion Jones already, so... whether you're a Saints fan, an LSU fan, or an NFL draft fan, we've got you covered with daily content.
Awesome stuff, Justin. And before we let you go, real quick, we had a texter asking us, what's your grade and what are your thoughts on Justin Jalen Milroe and where you think he'll end up going?
I do think he's going to be a second or third round pick. You know, it's an interesting because you remember the Jalen Hurts conversation from a couple of years ago, right? Where, oh, I don't know, you've got to mold your offense around him. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles did that, and they've done it to great success. They just won the Super Bowl. So that's going to be the conversation around Jalen Milroe. Which team is going to be bold enough to commit? Because you do have to commit. There's a developmental process as a thrower of the football, no doubt about it. Some of the tape this year was rough as a pure thrower. But as an athlete, I mean, the sky's the limit. If you commit to this guy, you saw the strides Lamar Jackson has made, the strides that Jalen Hurts has made. If you commit your offense, and he can get better as a passer, there's no doubt about it. I think early on it might be a little rough. You're going to have to commit to the process, but certainly the sky's the limit from an athletic perspective. And if you pair him with the right offensive coordinator and you take a patient approach, it can work out in the long haul.
Patience. There's no patience in the NFL. Always appreciate your knowledge, Justin. Thanks for sharing.
Pleasure is all mine.
Justin Thank Mello you. Covers the NFL for the Draft Network. You can check out all his great work there. Also follow him on Twitter at JustinM_NFL.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Radford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.